Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for December 15th, 2025. This is the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. My name is Tim, and I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that's designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. The development for CircuitPython is primarily sponsored by Adafruit. So if you want to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from them at their website, adafruit.com. This meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord server, which you can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the hashtag CircuitPythonDev text channel, as well as the CircuitPython voice channel. The meeting typically occurs on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific, except when that coincides with a U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, there is a link to a calendar, which you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. And in that calendar, it has the schedule for the upcoming meeting. So you can check that calendar out if you would like to know whether a meeting will happen on a certain day or not. Another thing you can do, if you would like to be kept up on when the meetings are happening and when they might be delayed or canceled, is ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord, the same role that you need in order to speak during the meeting. We will send out pings to that role when there are changes to the upcoming meetings day or time. And I have a note down at the bottom to mention it, but since we are talking about changes to the schedule, I will also mention right here, next week we do have a meeting at the normal time on Monday, but the following week we are taking off. So yes, meeting for next week, but no meeting the following week, and then we'll be back for the one after that in January, I believe. There is a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can access that with the pinned messages in the CircuitPython dev channel and Discord. The final notes document will include timestamps, so you can go along with the video and skip around to view the parts that interest you most. That video gets uploaded to YouTube as well as other major podcast services. Let's see here. Lost my spot. After the meeting, we'll post a link to the next meeting's notes document, so you can also fill in your notes throughout the week. You don't have to wait until Monday if you don't want. You can fill in hug reports and status updates throughout the week. Usually within an hour or two after the meeting, there will be a new notes doc that gets put in the Discord, and they ping CircuitPythonistas, and then that gets pinned. So you can find it there in the pinned messages throughout the week. The meeting does get held in five parts. We'll talk about community news, a quick look at all things CircuitPython and Python on hardware in the community. That one is a chosen set of items from the Python on Hardware newsletter. Then we will look at the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. That one is quantitative overview of the entire project. We'll have a chance to look at some of the stats from across the project. Then we will get into hug reports. That's the first of our two round robins. During hug reports, we'll go around the room, give everyone a chance to highlight the good things that folks are doing. You can take a moment when it's your turn to recognize people in and out of the community for things that you thought were cool. The fourth part is another round robin, status updates. That one is an opportunity to report on what you've been up to. This is separate from the stats. This is more sort of a personal look at what you've been doing for the past week and what you'll be up to over the next week until the next meeting. This is also a good time if you are working on someone and someone has tips or tricks or something like that, quick stuff like that, they can throw them in here. After status updates, we do have In the Weeds, which is an opportunity for more long-form discussion. So if there are more discussion or question or back and forth that come out of status updates, we can move that to In the Weeds if we need. We can also load up topics beforehand. So if you know you have a topic that you would like to discuss and get feedback on, and it's more of a thing where it's two-way rather than just you saying, hey, I'm working on this, you want to actually ask questions or discuss some technical details or something, In the Weeds is the perfect spot for that. If you do have a topic like that, go ahead and put it in the notes doc down in the In the Weeds section whenever you think of it. And then when we get to that point in the meeting, I will call on you and you can kick it off and we will discuss it. And then, yeah, we'll wrap it up after that. So first we will get to the community news. Let me scroll correctly and get a timestamp here. Here we go. that. All right, community news. All of these items and many more are available in the weekly Python for Microcontrollers newsletter. I will tell you a bit more about it at the conclusion of the actual items, but the items that caught my eye this week were MicroPython version 1.27 was released. MicroPython version 1.27 has been released. It contains a wealth of upgrades, release notes, and downloads. Those are supposed to be linked, and it looks like I didn't copy the link correctly, but I do have a quote here, which I presume came from the release notes, so I'll read to you what was posted on the MicroPython release notes. So, this release of MicroPython adds support for ESP32C5 and ESP32P4 microcontrollers. The P4 can work either as a standalone as a general purpose processor or with an external wireless coprocessor. Currently, either an ESP32C5 or an ESP32C6 for those coprocessors, I believe that means. Board profiles are provided for all three of these configurations, as well as the ESP32C5, the new device. Support for the low-power and high-performance STM32U5XX series is also added in this release, supporting USB, ADC, DAC, UART, I2C, SPI, and RTC, with a board profile for the Nucleo U5A5ZJ-Q. Rigorous and ongoing hardware-based testing is an important part of MicroPython, and with the increasing number of supported hardware platforms, along with a growing test suite, it's important to make sure tests run smoothly and as automatedly as possible. Next up, we have Boston College Student Technology Showcase demonstrates Python projects. The Boston College Student Technology Showcase was held on Friday, December 5th. Students made a variety of projects, many using CircuitPython on a variety of hardware devices. There is a picture in the newsletter that depicts a Circuit Playground Bluefruit axe, like a pickaxe from Minecraft, to mine a diamond block and reveal some NeoPixels inside, which looks really cool. So check out the link to Blue Sky for that project, as well as many of the other great projects that came out of Professor G's class over in Boston. Next up was a tide and moon clock. There's no text really associated with this one. There's a link to Instructables if you want to check out the project, but I was really struck by the picture of the finished thing. It's this nice e-ink display with a golden sort of cover on it in a box. So I thought this was a really cool project, a really cool use of e-ink to show some relevant information. It shows the stage of the moon, as well as some tides information from like local to wherever the person who made it is. So I thought it was a really cool example of kind of like a finished sort of project that gives you useful information, a nice IoT project. So check that out if you would like. Instructables link is there. Finally, from the newsletter, we have MicroPython LVGL video. This is a link over to YouTube, a video about MicroPython LVGL. Let's improve LVGL with custom widgets. So this video walks through designing and using custom widgets inside of LVGL. And this one caught my eye in the newsletter this week. I've seen a few videos by this author on YouTube, this microcontroller channel on YouTube. So really good stuff that I've seen from them in the past. And I am excited to check out this LVGL one as well. All right, so as I noted, all of these items did come from the Python on Microcontrollers weekly newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter that gets emailed out every Monday. The complete archives are available at AdafruitDaily.com. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. AdafruitDaily.com. The newsletter highlights the latest Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. If you'd like to contribute your own news or projects, you can email cpnews@adafruit.com. We always appreciate contributions from the community. And Hug Report, as always, thanks to Anne for putting together those newsletters for us to read each week. Next up, we will get into the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This section gives us a quantitative overview of the entire project. We'll look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. We will talk about the overall stats first, and then the core and the libraries and Blinka afterwards. First up, I will give you the stats for overall this week. We had, across the whole project, 24 pull requests merged with 12 different authors, which is really cool to see. That seems like quite a bit for both, honestly, pull requests and authors. The names on this list that were newer or less frequent or just caught my eye as someone I don't recall seeing on these lists from week to week this week were Joxel and Jerzeek. So the rest of the names here we do see more frequently, but we definitely appreciate folks who hang around and contribute more frequently as well. So thank you to everyone else, as well as those newer or less frequent contributors that we see this week. We did have 8 reviewers, thanks to Anne, Maker Melissa, Scott, Liz, and Jerry, as well as Brent and Dan for doing some reviews this week. We had 8 issues closed by 7 people, 5 new issues opened up by 5 people. And then I will pass it over to Scott, if you're available, to tell us about the core.
Sure, happy to. Thanks, Tim. For the core, we had 10 pull requests merged from 5 different authors. One of those is Weblate, so it's actually 4. But Jerzeek did add a new board def, so shout out to them. And 2 reviewers, Dan and myself. We have 22 open pull requests, so we're a few under that goal of being a single page of 25, which is great. The oldest one is 628 days, so we probably want to take a look at that. But overall, we could do a pass. We could do a pass at PRs. Most of them are 100 days or older, so we should take a look at those. Issues-wise, we had 2 closed issues by 2 people and 3 open by 3 people, so we're up 1 for 839 open issues. In the new year, we probably want to make a pass over issues as well. We do issue triaging via the milestone system. This lets us prioritize what Adafruit-funded folks are going to work on. That is to say, if you're a community member and want to dig into something that we've marked perhaps long-term, that's okay. We're happy to help support you in doing that, such as reviewing and talking about your changes. We have 10 open issues on 10.0x, although I don't think any of those are super important, super blocking of people. We have 5 open issues for 10.1.0, which is our pre-release version. And we have 1 issue not assigned a milestone, so we're keeping up with the incoming issues and making sure to triage them. So that's where we are with the core.
All right, thanks, Scott. Next up, I will tell you about the libraries. We have the libraries split into groups that we call bundles, just a sort of a big folder that holds a group of libraries, and we have 2 main bundles. The Adafruit Library Bundle currently has 379 libraries in it, and the Community Library Bundle, which contains libraries that are supported by the community rather than Adafruit directly. That one has 172 libraries in it, for a total right now of 551 different libraries that support CircuitPython. Across the Adafruit Bundle over the past week, we had 14 pull requests merged by 8 different authors. So thank you to all of our authors this week. We had 7 reviewers as well for libraries. So thank you to folks for doing reviews this week as well in library land. Of the pull requests that were merged, the oldest one was actually up there at 369 days. And then the newest ones, there was a handful of them that were just 1 day old. And that leaves us after... after the week, now currently we have 45 open pull requests left. The oldest one of those is getting up there as well, 1215 days. The newest one is 2 days old only. And then issues wise, we had 6 closed issues by 5 people, with only 1 new issue opened up by 1 person. So that leaves us with 761 open issues right now. And there is one of them currently that's labeled a good first issue. You can find that one as well as all the rest of them at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is a website where you should head if you are interested in getting involved with CircuitPython project. Usually the first thing that we point folks towards, if they don't have like a specific aim in mind, if they just want to get involved but don't necessarily, you know, have a specific thing they want to work on, the thing we point them towards is reviewing PRs. You can find those on that website, circuitpython.org/contributing. You'll see a list of open PRs. These are links to GitHub, And they are waiting for a person to review a proposed change. And so you can do that if you would like. You just need to go through that list, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, take a look at what changes are proposed inside that PR. You can leave comments there on GitHub letting us know, you know, what you found when you look over the code. You can look for things like syntax, spelling, logic, all of that sort of stuff, and leave comments letting us know if there is anything you think should be changed or if it looks all good to you. You can put that in a comment as well. If you do have the hardware, let us know that in your comment. You can test it out, let us know how it went, and also include information like which device you tested on and what version of CircuitPython and stuff like that. If you would like to start getting your hands dirty contributing some code yourself, you can also do that from the same website, circuitpython.org/contributing. Along the top, there's some navigation links. If you click over to issues, it will take you to a page that looks very similar. It's a big list of links that go over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. They don't have a proposed change yet. They're waiting for a person who is interested enough to come along and actually work on the change, and that could be you if you would like. So you can look again through that list, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub. This time you're going to want to read up on what the issue is, whether it's a bug or a new feature or something like that. Figure out what it's asking for, and then you can submit your own PR to try to resolve that issue. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are around on Discord who are more than happy to help get you spun up. So if you would like to contribute, be it reviewing or submitting your own pull requests, and you're having trouble with any part of the process, like the actions or the pre-commit or anything like that, please just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're doing. Let us know what kind of trouble you're having. We will be happy to get you some help. There is, let's see, a list of library updates in the last 7 days that are linked here in the notes doc. None of them are community libraries, so I'll let you read those from the notes if you would like. And then I will next up give you stats for Blinka. So Blinka is the compatibility layer that allows CircuitPython code to run on Raspberry Pi and other single board computers, as well as some MicroPython devices. And this week, no action in Blinka land, zero pull requests merged. There are 18 pull requests open currently, and there are issues-wise, no action as well, zero issues closed last week. There was one new issue opened up, and that leaves us currently across the Blinka repos with 144 open issues. And there are a total of 166 boards that support that are supported by Blinka currently. All right. Next up, I will take a timestamp for Hug Reports. I will tell you what Hug Reports is about. As a reminder, Hug Reports is our chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start, then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports in the notes doc alphabetically. If you're text only or missing the meeting, then I'll read notes for you when we get to your turn in the list. Otherwise, I will call on you. So I will take the first timestamp and get it kicked off. I have a Hug Report this week. Thanks to Dan for reviewing a handful of my PRs in display text. Thanks to Neurodoc for finding and fixing an issue that I broke in display text and helping people on Discord when that popped up. And then thanks to Sam Blenny as well. This one is from last week, but thanks for the improvements to Hashlib in the core. I think that is super cool as well. And then next up, I will pass it over to Dan. I do not hear you if you are speaking, Dan. I see your Discord green, but I do not hear you. I think I almost hear myself feeding back. Yeah, definitely. But not your text, or your speech, rather. I can read yours for now, if we need as well. Okay. Dan has Hug Reports. Thanks to Scott for continued work on the Zephyr port. And a Hug Report for Foamy Guy Me. Thanks for merging of display.io, bitmap, label, subclasses functionality into a single class. My pleasure. And next up, I will pass it over to Scott.
Thanks, Tim. Just a quick hug to you and Retired Wizard in particular for lots of sustained work on Fruit Jam OS over the last months. Thinking about, as I came back from leave, that was kind of like one of the bigger things that I wanted to work on that I just handed off to you, and you all did a great job. So I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of fun to work on, and definitely I second your hug for Retired Wizard as well there. They've done a huge amount of work as well. All right, so next up we've got status updates. Status updates is our time to tell folks what we've been up to individually. And again, it's another round robin, so I will kick it off, and then we'll go through the list as they appear in the notes doc. When I call on you, take a minute to tell us what you have been doing for the last week or what you'll be up to over the next week. And if any discussions become too long, we can always bump those down to in the weeds and get some longer back and forth going if needed. So I will kick it off again. For me, I have been fixing a couple of issues that shook out from the bitmap label changes last week. And so I've been finding and fixing those. And then I did, so like all of these bitmap changes essentially were for this project, this MagTag literature quotes clock, which I actually forgot clock there in the notes. And so I finished that project up last week and wrote the guide, and that's been published now. So that's cool to see all those changes in bitmap label, you know, getting used on a thing very specifically like that. It's always nice to unlock a new sort of functionality and have a project for it right away. So that's cool. For the next project, I made a Display.io checkbox widget this week. I haven't published it, but I will probably do that this week, get a new repo spun up for that. And I'm using that checkbox in the next project, which is Holiday Card Maker for the Fruit Jam. This allows you to input some text for the front as well as some text for the inside, and then you can choose an image for the front. You can either make a snowflake by clicking points on the screen and then using X and Y mirroring to sort of cut out shapes from your white snowflake paper, so to speak. Or you can choose custom images with a custom SVG or a bitmap. And then once you get everything set, you click the button and it outputs a printable HTML file to the CP saves drive, which you can then open up on your PC and print out right from your browser and then fold up and make a nice little greeting card. And fun project to work on. And that is it for me. So next up, I will pass it over to Dan. Let's see.
Okay, how about now? This yep, is now. Great. That's I restarted Discord. Okay, so I'm still working on the Airlift native Wi-Fi implementation and making good progress with that. Like basically all the functionality that's in the Wi-Fi radio class is done. Including connection to the access point and other non-socket operations like looking up hosts, doing ping, changing and getting MAC addresses and IP addresses, that kind of thing. So the next thing to do is actually socket communication, and I'm working in the socket pool and socket class and socket class itself files now. One interesting thing is that the Nina FW firmware that I'm using, a few years ago, someone added low-level socket operations to the protocol that Nina FW has, which are good, but nobody has actually used those, except maybe a library that's called Better Wi-Fi Nina, which I hadn't heard of until I started researching these socket operations. And I'm trying to see whether it's worth using these new operations or just using the existing operations that we already used in the ESP32 SPI library. There might be some issue with trying to do SSL properly with these new operations because it's not clear how to wrap up the SSL socket. They don't provide the SSL operations that we need. They just, ESP32 SPI, which is what I'm using, just, you can get a socket that is either SSL capable or not. So I have to see whether using these operations worked, but I'm making good progress on the whole project otherwise. And what this means eventually is that something like the PyPortal would have native Wi-Fi socket pool and SSL classes, and you wouldn't have to use the Adafruit ESP32 SPI library to use the Wi-Fi coprocessor on something like the PyPort. And that's it.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Next up, I will pass it over to Scott.
Hello. So I've got a pull request out that adds Zephyr Spy support. There's a link in the docs there. And I also merged, I originally was going to do pushing for separate Zephyr underscore I squared C, Zephyr underscore serial modules. But when hitting Spy, we realized that like it was going to complicate everything that uses, that builds on top of Bus.io Spy. So Dan and I talked about it, and we opted to merge Zephyr I squared C and Zephyr serial back into Bus.io. And then when we want to add the ability to be dynamic, the Zephyr code will be responsible for delegating to port-specific code for dynamic creation. So this code still inherits what the way those other two do, where the buses are in board, so you just do board.spy, board.i2c, and it works just fine. But if you try to do bus.io i2c or bus.io spy, it will just tell you it's not implemented. But as a result, I've got Zephyr Spy working along with Display.io. So any displays that use Spy or I2C will now work with any Zephyr board that has those things defined. Into the build system, I added the ability, like the Python build scripts, I added the ability to just say, like, if this module is enabled, then enable these other ones, which allows Bus.io to pull in all of the related Display.io stuff. I did run into some crashes where I was trying to use RAM that I shouldn't have, so I added, I made it a little bit better reasoned about which RAMs to actually use for CircuitPython, and actually added tests to make sure that that code doesn't change. So those are run as a separate test job now. And then I'm just going to do more testing with this stuff, including like SD cards and touchscreens. Lamore was saying that it's a good test to do touchscreen reading and display writing and loading off of a SD card all at the same time as a test. So I wanted to do that, and then I also do want to go back and kind of like just see all of the boards that I've added to make sure that they're still working as I expect. And yeah, that should get me pretty far before the holidays. I'm out on Friday, and then I'm out starting Christmas Eve next week until the new year. And I guess I should note that I am planning on doing CircuitPython 2026 when I'm back in the new year. So start to think about kind of what we think we could do next year and beyond with CircuitPython.
All right. Thanks, Scott. And that is it for status updates. Next up would be a chance for In the Weeds, but we do not have any topics, so this would be where we would discuss longer form stuff, or if we needed to have any discussions, go back and forth, or discuss technical details, we would do it, but there's nothing listed today, so we will skip on past and go to the wrap-up, which I will scroll to. So this has been CircuitPython Weekly Meeting for December 15th, 2025. Thanks to everyone who participated. If you want to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on the project, consider purchasing hardware from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will get released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit. The podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also get featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which you can find at adafruitdaily.com. You can head there to subscribe to that. The next meeting is at the normal time on the 22nd, 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific. But I did want to note we are out the following week. So we have a meeting next week on the 22nd, but no meeting on the 29th. And then we'll be back the following week on the 5th, I believe. So we will see you next week, but not the following week for meetings. As always, all the meetings get held here on the Adafruit Discord, which you can join at adafru.it/discord. If you'd like to get notified about the meetings and any changes to the day or time, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. And that is it. Thanks, everyone. We hope to see you all next week.